Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 45 of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast, brought to you by TuesdayNightMovies.com. I'm Billy. Dave is not with me today. He's actually on his honeymoon. With me is enlisted one of his groomsmen. everybody say hi to Ali. Ali, how are you?
I'm good. Hi, everybody. So thanks for having me on, Billy.
No, no problem. I'm glad you're free. You are now the fourth host of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast.
Oh my God, I feel so special. Number four specialty.
Yeah, yeah, you were Dave's second fill-in.
Who are the last fill-ins?
Well, usually it's Dave every week. And then Nick Doyle, who writes the Gotham recaps for TuesdayNightMovies.com, has filled in for Dave a couple of times. He is on vacation in Seattle, though. And I was like, oh, crap.
It's just going to be you doing this.
I basically... you know, ambushed Ali in the wedding hotel lobby and was like, hey, you listen to our podcast, right? Want to be on it?
Yeah, and I was like, no.
And then... yeah, and I was like, please.
But no, I really appreciate being here. It's awesome. I can't wait to talk to you about comics.
Yeah, now you and Dave grew up together as comic book fans on Long Island, right?
We did, actually. So I moved to Long Island when I was 13 years old. Me and Dave didn't meet until a couple of years later, but we used to go to our local comic haunt. There was a drunk guy at the counter. His name was Tony. He was very racist, but he held our books for us. At the time, Dave was as big of a Superman fan as he is now, though he did really like Batman. He used to wear this one Batman shirt all the time, and we used to give him crap about it. He and me both shared a love of DC comics. Actually, at the time, I was reading a lot of Marvel, and Dave was the one who was like, hey, man, should check out some DC characters. I think, like, the Bloodlines storyline arc was going on at the time, so that's
how... He's obsessed with Bloodlines.
Were you guys talking about Bloodlines?
We were talking about, like, DC annuals last week or the week before, and he was like, yeah, and Bloodlines, and I was like... Crickets.
You know, honestly, I feel like Bloodlines is one of those story arcs that a lot of classic DC fans will trash on because most of the people that came out of that story arc no one cares about or even knows about anymore. Right. But for me, the big thing was that was where Hitman, Garth Ennis's Hitman, came from. And he was one of the only characters, I think, that ended up keeping an ongoing series after the fact. And Dave actually was the one who gave me the Bloodline annual that had the Hitman origin story, so I owe him for that. So I have to rep Bloodlines with him. So
yeah, you're not gonna trash Bloodlines behind his back.
Bloodlines forever.
Bloodlines forever. You should print that up on a t-shirt.
Yeah, Bloodlines t-shirts for all the four people out there who's gonna care about it.
Yeah, and the only thing I remember about Bloodlines besides Hitman's first appearance is like weird looking aliens that barf blood or something like that.
Yeah, that was, I think, the whole crux of the story arc was that the aliens came down, bit people, killed them, and if you didn't die from the bites, you basically would get superhuman abilities. And there were a lot of bad superheroes who came out from that story arc, but I think that, as far as DC crossovers go in the 90s, it's not that bad. It could have been worse.
Now, Ollie, you're big into the cosplay scene, right?
Yes, yeah, very big into cosplay.
I think you should go as Slod from Bloodlines.
Thank you.
If anyone's not familiar, Art Adams, I'm reading this from an article called The Top 11 Worst Bloodlines Characters. And Slod comes in at number 7.
I don't think I can make that costume. I'm looking at it right now. I don't know. Bloodlines characters. Honestly, I wonder if you're clicking on a link that probably has not been clicked on in like 12 years.
Yeah, because like 9/10 of the photos don't work.
They were all being hosted by like Photo Bucket and nobody cares anymore now.
They'll link to somebody's GeoCities site.
Oh my God, yeah, tripod.
Let's see. There's another article that has the top 5 best Bloodlines characters. So maybe you'd like to go as Lionheart, who was England's newest champion, or perhaps Nightblade, who It combines two of my favorite 90s comics words, which are Knight and Blade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of wore. He would fit in on Rob Liefeld's X-Force. He's got a He's got like a mullet and a ribbon through his hair and a bunch of knives. It looks like he's actually throwing like kitchen knives. Like they have wooden handles, like the ones that I have in my kitchen drawer.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at this picture. This guy is fantastic. He would totally be a perfect like X-Force character.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is Richter.
Oh, that's right. There was also a character named Gunfire, and I believe that he held, like, I'm looking at his picture and I'm remembering this guy now. He held, like, a brick or something, and he would shoot blasts out of his hand only when he held the brick.
Wow. And then there's the early forerunner of Knives Cho, Razor Sharp.
Yes.
Basically, is just Edward Scissorhands, but a girl.
Yes, yeah. Razor Sharp, Ballistic.
Yeah, Hitman was obviously number one. And then, like, Sparks was number two, but Sparks was just Livewire from the Superman the Animated Series.
Yes.
Like that character already existed.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, looking at the character model, it literally is like the second version that they did of her.
Yeah.
I think Justice League Unlimited, she showed up in there as well.
So, but tell me more about Gunfire, you're right. He's holding a brick and he's shooting a beam out of his hand. He doesn't, for a guy named Gunfire...
He doesn't carry guns.
He doesn't carry guns. He's not shooting bullets. He's not even shooting fire.
No, he just shoots these blasts. And I think I actually had this book with Deathstroke. And if I remember correctly, he could not fire if he was not holding that brick. So he would switch between hands to hold the brick that he wanted to shoot things out of.
That's amazing. Now, was it any brick would shoot things, or he needed like a special brick?
Honestly, Billy, I don't want to, you know, make claims here that I can't back up. So I'm just going to say that I think it was a specific special brick that he had. So...
I'll ask Dave next week.
I'm sure Dave knows everything. They're like, Dave, you remember Gunfire? He was quite a character.
And I cannot believe that Anima ranked only number as an honorable mention on this list. And yet, Razor Sharp and Razor Sharp made the top five. I don't want to make fun of Sparks because, you know, Sparks, I did like Livewire on Superman the Animated Series.
Yeah, yeah. Loose Cannon's the other one.
Yeah, what a great
literally
name.
Literally like Beast, but purple.
I think he looks just like Blanka from Street Fighter.
Yes, he does, yeah.
They're like, we can't color him green and red.
Yep, it's just a different color palette for Blanka.
Yeah. That's whoever designed... Yeah, I want to talk to... if it was Jim Belen who did the art design for Liz Cannon and see if he played a lot of Street Fighter back then.
He was like, well, you know, had to come up with an idea somewhere.
His first two design submissions were just guys in sleeveless karate gis.
Yeah. It was like, we're going to call them Ben and Biu.
Right?
These two guys, Ben and Biu, they're ancient brothers that have lived together and fought. No, you cannot use that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they are street fighter. No, they are road warriors. No, I mean they are causeway soldiers.
Oh my God! And you know what the funny thing is I'm looking at this Loose Cannon cover. Actually, Eradicator. Man, that was a character that came out of nowhere because this was during the. Death of Superman.
Oh yeah, this was before Eradicator had his own series. This was just during like when Eradicator was the Superman in Action Comics.
Yep. Yeah.
I was a big fan of the Death and Return of Superman. Like the whole Reign of the Superman storyline, they caught me hook, line, and sinker with that.
Oh, who was your favorite out of the four that they used as a surrogate?
Favorite of them? That's a tough one. I think the Eradicator was.
Really? Yeah.
But I was really into Cyborg Superman, too. I was, that whole twist totally shocked me.
Actually, you know, that's the funny thing. Cyborg Superman was always one of my favorite characters growing up, and I like the kind of contrast that, you know, this guy really feels that he is Kal-El. He has all the memories, but then, like, you know him as a different character. And I know that during the Blackest Night, what was it? Not, it wasn't Blackest Night. It was the Sinestro Corps War. They brought him back.
Yeah.
He was actually a major part of the Green Lantern annual during that period. And they kind of show his backstory, and he was really fleshed out as a character. Him and Superboy, and I mean, I guess Steel too. I give Steel a lot of crap. Actually, I think Steel's another one of Dave's favorite as well.
Oh, so. Dave loves Steel.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, look, at the time, my favorite, it's hard to pick, my favorite was probably Cyborg Superman or the Eradicator during that storyline. Though I think I really, like, thought Superboy was super cool with his, NKOTB haircut.
The tuft of hair, and then the John Lennon sunglasses.
Yeah, and then the leather jacket. Man, that is a weird storyline when you look back on it. But yeah, I feel like out of all of them, Steel and Superboy are the ones who have aged the best. Superboy definitely, once Geoff Johns got his hands on him.
Oh yeah. The Superboy arcs that came after what they were trying to do with Death and Return. Honestly, I thought that he was going to be just like scrapped, just like everybody else. But yeah, you're right. They definitely did justice to that character. And I mean, Steel also, it is kind of sad that Eradicator just kind of fell to the wayside.
Yeah, he just became a rainbow prism to repower Superman.
Pretty much, yeah. I think it's also funny that we've spent about 15 minutes now talking about Bloodlines.
Yeah, that is true. Hey guys, we're talking about DC's major crossover. No, not Convergence. Bloodlines.
Oh, good segue. Yeah,
thank you. Speaking of which, our original plan was to talk about Convergence.
Yes.
Earlier today, we got a boatload of information about what is going to go on in these Convergence storylines.
Yeah, it seems like, from what we can see, New 52 does not exist during the Convergence storyline. And I think they said April and May. Yeah. So it's a conflict coming next April, May, so 2015. This is all going to be pre-New 52 DC Universe content. They released 10 covers today. I think it's actually 9 covers, because one of them, I don't see the... We were talking about it before, the Batman and Robin one. But all the books look like they basically just pick up where they left off pre the New 52 runs that they did a couple of years ago. So.
Yeah, Roy Harper is Arsenal with his cyborg arm again, and it's the Titans team that, with Donna Troy and Starfire. Wally is back as the Flash with his kids in tow.
Which is amazing. Speed Force is there. You have Stephanie Brown back as Batgirl. And then when you're looking at the cover that they put out for Batgirl, you can see Cassandra Cain, you can see Red Robin, you can see Catman.
Yeah. Taking on Gorilla Grodd. Interesting is that in the solicit port, they call him Flashpoint Catman. So he's not the pre-New 52 Catman. He's not a New 52 Catman. He's somehow the Flashpoint Universe Catman.
Yeah, you're right. That's weird that they specifically call that out
in
the solicitation. I wonder if it's some kind of weird mesh. I mean, it's called Convergence, so there may be a crossover going on between all the universes. But yeah, that's odd. That's the only one that they actually call him out as a different universe character.
Yeah, everything else looks like just pre-New 52 DC Universe.
Yeah, and I wonder if they did that because they're not bringing back Secret Six, and they're going to try to wedge him in there as being... Because for me, at first, I didn't even read that part of the solicitation. When I saw him, I was really excited because I was like, oh my god, what if they bring back Secret Six? One of the things that I really missed before the New 52 was I felt like that when Gail Simone ended Secret Six, that it felt kind of flat to me. It was a good ending, but it just didn't seem like the proper kind of send-off, and I felt like she could have done more with the book, and I really fell in love with those characters. But now, looking at this, it seems like they may just wedge those characters out altogether and just have this Flashpoint Catman show up.
Looks like in the Speed Force comic, Flashpoint Wonder Woman is going to make an appearance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It says, Wally West and his kids are separated from Lindo, which was bad enough, but when the dome falls, Flashpoint Wonder Woman comes for them.
So, huh.
Yeah. It looks like going by the images we've seen, it looks like the villain is some sort of Brainiac, maybe even a Brainiac Doomsday combo, like looking at him. And so seeing an image that shows a bunch of Earths all separated in hexagons, like similar to Brainiac's ship, the way that's designed. And now, we get this free New 52 stuff. This should be really interesting. I think the most interesting one is the pregnant Lois Lane.
Oh, yeah, and that was like the first one that they had for the solicitation. So pregnant Lois Lane, Superman, they're looking forward to their first child. So we'll see how this... I don't know. I don't even know what to say about that one.
Yeah, there are so many places they can go with it. And I feel like it's something we've seen before, too, with Son of Superman, you know, imaginary stories going back as far as the 1960s.
Yeah. I also wonder if this is going to stick. The way the solicitation reads right now is that I guess they're only doing two issues for each one of these. So whether or not this is going to bleed over to a bigger crossover that'll take place later on in the summer, or if they're... I also was wondering if this is their way of kind of capitalizing on what's going on with Marvel, where Marvel's kind of going back and pulling out all their big events. You have the Battle Worlds trailer that aired last week. And I wonder if this is just their kind of like, hey, we have something too that's involved with a lot of our older licenses or older properties, you know, but bringing them back to a certain time. It seems everybody's going vintage.
Yeah, that's a good point. There are often a lot of coincidences that happen with Marvel and DC events, but it is weird that like this, you know, was announced right after Secret Wars was announced, and they're both involving multiple Earths, multiple dimensions, and whatnot. You know, it might be coincidence. It might be though that one was just piggybacking off the other.
Yeah, it could be. I feel like with these kind of things, it has to be coincidence because, you know, to get these things ready for cert, solicitation, these books had to have been worked on months in advance to maybe even up to a year or two, you know?
Yeah.
They had to have had these in the back of their pocket. But it is kind of funny to me that, like you said, it seems to be like one piggybacks off the other and they just kind of have similarities that are running through them. I don't know if that's just also the head that these two universes are coming to. I've actually wondered for a little while now how long they can ride the New 52 wave. I know personally a lot of the DC books that I was reading first round of New 52 either got canceled or they just kind of ended them. Some books just keep getting redone. Like I was at the comic book store today and I saw that Deathstroke number one, which is just a reissue. Basically they just revamped the New 52 Deathstroke again.
Yeah, that's very true. The same thing happened with Suicide Squad. At least with Deathstroke, they made a change, it looked like, to the character. They actually gave him plastic surgery to look like the actor who plays him on Arrow.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I actually, that's funny you say that because that's another Marvel trope, right? When Fraction started writing Hawkeye, that Hawkeye started to look like the Hawkeye from the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And they even did little things to Tony Stark to make him look more like Robert Downey Jr. and kind of carry over. So I know that the big one is Guardians of the Galaxy. I was reading the new Star-Lord book that they put out, and they basically revamped that character look exactly like the Star-Lord from the movies. And same thing with Rocket Raccoon. But I wonder if that the movies are playing more now into the media of the comics than they were ever before.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure, because it's not like when the 1989 Batman movie came out. They didn't make Batman, you know, walk around in a rubber suit.
Yeah. Who can't turn his neck anywhere.
Yeah. But he had to, like, turn his whole body to, like, look to the left.
He would get sucker punched constantly.
Yeah, and now Convergence, we're still months away from this. Like, this isn't coming out till what, next spring?
Yeah, so it's coming out April. They're starting April and May next year. So
no doubt we'll find out more and more about this as we get closer to it.
Yep.
What I'm most excited for out of these, I think, is Gail Simone returning to write Oracle and Greg Rucka returning to write The Question.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of surprised, actually, that they have The Question on this solicitation. I really like the character, and I've always thought the character is fantastic. I really liked the Renee Montoya version that they did when they were doing 52. And now this is back to the old Question, and I'm wondering if and even in the solicitation, they talk about the question multiple times. I'm wondering if he's going to play a major role in the overall arc. You can look in the little inset for the video that they have and that image of the Brainiac-looking character. You can see in one of the little shards, Ted Kord standing to the question as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah. I think I was talking to Dave, and he was telling me that there's some crazy stuff going on with Booster Gold and Blue Beetle as it is already.
Yeah, they're returning in next month's Justice League 3000, issue number 12, which is the Giffen DeMatteis Justice League 3000. They're the ones behind Justice League 3000, and they were the ones behind the classic Blue Beetle Booster Girl team ups in like the 80s and 90s. So, that made big news, and it's not. They've gone out and said it's not a pre New 52. Blue Beetle and Booster Gold. It's as if the Blue Beetle and Booster Gold from formerly known as the Justice League, if they went into cryo sleep and woke up in the future, that's the Earth that they're on, if that makes any sense. Okay, let's move on to new comics coming out this week. And it's new comics coming out the week of Wednesday, November 12th. Have you read the new team on Batgirl yet?
No, that was Batgirl 35, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I picked it up, but I still have not. It's sitting on a stack on my table right now. Is it good?
Move it to the top of your stack. It's great.
I will. I will move it to the top of the stack. I really love the look of... I love the redesign that they did. That completely sold me right away. I think it's finally time that we have a superhero who actually has foot gear that is prepared for the amount of climbing, jumping... she looks like she has some really kick-ass boots on, and that's perfect. I also like that they kind of went with a hip redesign. I know it's kind of like almost cheesy in a way that they're like going after the hipster attitude, doing selfies, but I think it's kind of cool to rejuvenate the character.
Yeah, they are a little over the top with it, having her move to like basically the Williamsburg part of Gotham City, and spray paint her own boots, and she's... The villain in issue 35 kept using hashtags in his dialogue, which...
Oh, my God. See, this is what I'm talking about.
Like, a little over the top. On the other hand, like, I enjoyed it, but I could see how it would come off a little annoying to some people. But I really actually am loving it. I love the last issue. The new issue 36 comes out this week. I'm definitely picking that up.
Are they carrying this over from the original storyline, or are they just starting fresh? So is this like...
They're carrying it over from the original storyline. Like, it's not like they're rebooting her again, but okay. What happens is early in issue 35, she, basically all of her gear and her home get destroyed. So she's forced to start anew in a different part of town. Yeah, they actually make like an in-story reason instead of just like, okay, now I just dress completely differently and I'm going to pretend some things never happened that happened.
I feel like moving. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then also in the Bat Family is Batman number 36, which is Endgame Part 2.
Oh, yes.
And that's Scott Snyder. He writes a good Batman comic.
He does write a good Batman comic.
Did you read number 35?
No, that's another book. All these 35 sitting on my table right now.
I won't spoil it for you, but there's a twist at the end. It's really good.
Oh, man. I'm wondering if Batman is going the way of Saga, and every issue now is going to have this big twist that's trying to draw you in last page.
I don't know. I think it's just that I think Scott Snyder is really good at writing the first part of a story really well, like drawing you in immediately and then getting you to come back by having like a twist on the last page. That just seems to be like the way that he sets up a lot of his stories. But yeah, maybe it might be go the way of Saga or even before that, Bone, where like every issue is a cliffhanger.
Yeah, everything is a cliffhanger. Everything is lead up to the next one. But I mean, unlike Saga, we don't have a 2 to 3 month wait between issues, so it doesn't really matter. You know you're going to get number 36 this week. You know you're going to get 37 next month, so not that long of a wait. I do love the cover for this book. I'm looking at it right now. It's a great kind of silhouette, black and red, Superman. Yeah. Oh, that's actually Batman Endgame. You were talking about Endgame, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. It's so nice. I love it. Who did this cover? Actually, I'm looking at, there's a variant too, and they keep doing these damn combo packs. I think I was talking to you about combo packs kill me. The price is just not, I don't know, to get the digital copy and get the single issue for $4.99, that may be a good deal for some people, but I feel like that's just asking too much for a $5 book.
Yeah, I think you have to either make the choice, get the digital or get the, I get the point of it, like if you want it digitally as well, but I don't know. I feel like you're better off deciding, oh, I want this one digital or I don't want this one digital.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are a lot of Lego variants this week.
Oh, yeah, I think that this is the Lego month, isn't it? They're going to be doing Lego variants for everything.
Lego Batman 3 actually just launched today on Tuesday, so I think they're doing that to tie into that, and because the whole Justice League and a lot of the DC Universe is going to be in that video game.
Yeah, actually, I know a lot about that game. I do own that game. It's fantastic.
Oh, wow.
So I work for GameStop, and that's my daily grind, but at the same time, I really do appreciate the Lego games. I think they offer the ability for younger kids nowadays to kind of get into the different universes. Lego Marvel Superhero had like 100 characters. Lego Batman 3 is adding, I think, 150 characters. The big deal with this game is that they actually are doing DLC for the game that adds the Dark Knight Rises. So Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight Rises content will be in Lego Batman 3. They're doing the Superman Man of Steel content as well. And so you'll get... Zod, you'll get Feora and a bunch of other characters from the movie version, and then you'll also get, they're doing Batman 75th anniversary content as well, so you'll get classic Batman with the really big Batwing ears.
Yeah, and they also, I think they got Kevin Smith to appear in the game as well.
Yeah, they did, yep. It's kind of like, I think it's a callback, because Lego Marvel, you got Stan Lee as a character, so they figured... Nice. Yeah, who's a big DC guy to get. So they got Kevin Smith to do Lego Batman 3.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love Lego Batman 2, and Lego Batman 3 is probably going to be on my Christmas list this year.
Yeah, I think the main villain for the game is Brainiac, so maybe there's another DC tie-in there. So we have
smells like Convergence to me.
It smells like Convergence. We should use that as a tagline. Smells like Convergence.
I'm going to hashtag that. Smells like Convergence.
Yeah, 2015. Hashtag smells like Convergence.
Yeah. It'll be, and you know what? If I can, I'm going to Photoshop a picture of like a baby Brainiac diving into a pool, Nirvana Nevermind style.
Oh my god, that would be perfect. I need that. That'll be my new background.
I gotta write that down.
Yes, you have to write that down.
All right, if you're listening to this podcast and you have any graphic design skill, because I don't, please make a Nirvana Nevermind cover, but with a baby Brainiac jumping into a pool instead of a baby human. With the tagline, smells like Convergence.
I'm very excited to know what you actually get sent to you.
So am I. I will post every one that gets sent to me on the site, I promise. Now, let's see. Also coming out by Scott Snyder and teaming up with Jock is Witches number 2, which is his new Image Comics title.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this book. This is the book. I did. I read the first one. Got hooked in right away. I've been following Jock for a long time. I think he's probably one of the premier artists that we have out there right now.
I agree.
I think that this book is, it's one of those books that everybody kind of clamored to. There was a lot of buzz. It was right around the time that New York Comic Con was going on. And when number 1 came out, and I remember there was a lot of variants on the stand. I went to the comic book store the day it released, and it was pretty much sold out already everywhere.
Wow.
They were already binned for every book. So I went to 2 or 3 different stores. I was luckily able to pick it up at kind of like a hole in the wall. The guy said, a bunch of other guys came in, picked it up, and I finally got my hands on one, and I read it in 5 minutes, and I was like, wow, this is a good book. And it's not so much of because, it's classic Scott Snyder, but it feels like Scott Snyder writing a novel, and he's writing this really good horror story that's just going to keep building up. I was drawn in. The art's beautiful. It is kind of dark. Everything is really dark in the book, but that's fine. Not dark so much as content, because the content's dark too, but just the colors that they use. Everything's a black and a purple and a gray and a red.
Yeah, when I got to the... After I read that book, I was like, Scott Snyder is a scary man.
Yeah, have you seen some of the variants that they had for that?
Yeah, I picked up the Midtown Comics variant, which is the one that Sean Murphy did. I usually don't go for variant covers, but it was just really cool looking. I really like Sean Murphy's art. And then the Dustin Nguyen variant, which was the New York Comic Con variant, that one was sick as well.
Yes, yeah, and then there's one that Francesco Francavalli, the guy who does the Afterlife with Archie, there's actually a variant that he did too that is amazing looking, and they're all really creepy. I think in this day and age, we're all so jaded to think like, oh, I'm sitting down reading something and I'm actually getting scared. But there is something about this book that's very unsettling, all the way up until the last page, and like you feel it, and it's a good build-up. So definitely Witches number 2, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I remember I got to the last page and I was like, Scott Snyder's effed up.
What is this guy doing?
Like, I've met him a couple of times and he seems like a really nice guy, but now I'm a little afraid of him.
Yeah, it makes you look at trees in a different light.
Yeah, definitely. Not trees the Warren Ellis comic, but trees
no.
Just out on the sidewalk and all around.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Long Island's own Scott Snyder.
Oh, he's from Long Island? I didn't know that.
He grew up in Manhattan, but he lives in Long Island now. He and his wife, they live pretty far out east. I don't know exactly. I don't remember what town he lives in, but I know he shops at Fourth World Comics, which might be in Smithtown.
Huh.
And if you're ever there, pretty much, I think he shows up anytime one of his new books comes out, like signs their entire stock, and you know they'll have autographed Scott Snyder books until they sell out of them.
Wow, it's like a 3.5-hour drive, but I may have to do that on Wednesday one day. Just drive out there and be like, "Hey, I drove 4 hours to meet you and have you sign every book I own."
Yeah, well, I don't know if you'll meet him there, but you'll definitely because he might just show up like randomly throughout the day and pick up his comics, like sign all their books, and then you know peace out.
Oh, cool. So I should just wait there all day. Thanks, Billy.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
All the stalkers out there. Stalkers.
Yeah, they're Tuesday night, like a normal person, you know?
Yep.
Wear your Scott Snyder skin suit that you made.
With my Scott Snyder name tag and my lock of hair.
Yeah.
This is one of your first pens, Scott. I got it
out of Scott, this is one of your fingernails. You bit it, but you didn't swallow it, so I picked it out of the garbage can.
Welcome to the Scott Snyder Fancast.
Yeah. But you were saying that, you know, Witches reads like... Welcome to the Scott Snyder Fancast, that's funny. You were saying that Witches reads like a novel. Have you ever read his book of short stories called Voodoo Heart?
No, I haven't. Actually, once I started getting into Scott Snyder, I realized that book existed, but I have not had a chance to pick it up. I'm guessing
it's excellent. I read it a few years ago. It's excellent. It's got some really weird, and interesting short stories. The short stories remind me almost like Neil Gaiman short stories, where they all have a twist. You know, where reality is just like a little kilter.
Yeah. Actually, Smoke and Mirrors is one of my favorite books.
Yeah, if you like Smoke and Mirrors, then you'll love Voodoo Heart.
Yeah, awesome. That's a good pickup. I'll remember that. I'm writing that down right now, actually. I'm going to put it on there. Sweet. But yeah, Witches, I think that the buzz alone for that book is so big that its number 2s are always lower print than number 1s, so you're probably not going to see this on shelves for very long before it goes into a second printing.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. My other side is the crazy comic collector guy, so I spend a lot of time focusing on print runs.
I kind of get the same way, and it's funny because Dave is definitely not like that, which I'm sometimes jealous of, because like I'll be like, oh, you know, even though I buy all my books digitally, I really gotta get to the store today because like this book is coming out and like the print run is gonna be like super low and I gotta get it.
Yeah, I mean, my roommate was making fun of me before because he looked through the stack of books and he was like, God hates astronauts. He's like, what the hell is this? And yeah. I remember I was at the comic book store and the comic book guy was like, oh yeah, it's a really good book and it's a low print run. And the minute he says that to me, I'm like, oh yeah, just give it to me. Whatever it is, I'll buy it. You know, I'm in. I feel like it's better to buy it when it's $2, $3 and not worry about the fact that A, it's going to go up 25% the next day, or B, I'm going to have to like drive and spend gas money to try to find this book after the fact, you know?
Definitely.
But yeah, you're totally right. I do envy Dave, and I do envy people who don't have that collector frenzy, because I feel like I have a sickness and an affliction. I see like, one of the ones I was reading, Justin Jordan's The Spread. Have you read that book?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's really good. Fantastic book from Image. But the odd print run for that book was that the first issue was a really low print run, and then issue number one had a second printing, and the second printing was like maybe 2,000 to the point where nobody got it. So the second printing of issue number one is actually a lower print run than every other book, so now that's worth more money than the other one. So it goes into craziness. I'm sorry.
Yeah, No, it is crazy. It's something I definitely relate to. I remember when Walking Dead 100 came out, they had the Lucille variant that they offered right after New York Comic Con, and it basically had like just the bloody bat on the cover, with like red foil.
I saw that. Did you pick that up?
I did.
Oh my God! Lucky you. They also made that the Michonne 1970s variant after the fact, and I was able to pick up one of those when it was being sold for like $15. I think those go for like $100, $120 now.
Yeah, it's funny. When I saw that for $15, I was like, oh, what a ripoff. It's just like a reprint book. And then I was like, oh, well, that was dumb. I should have bought that.
I know. That's the thing is you second-guess yourself sometimes, and you're like, oh, is this going to be like I'm second-guessing myself, and now I'm going to have to spend $100 to get this later on? I'm just going to buy it now.
Yeah, and then but the thing is, for like every one of those, there are 9 others where you buy a book and it's like, oh, I spent $3 on this. It's worth 50 cents now.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's impossible to know. It's a game of chance, I feel like, now, buying comic books. Especially if – I think that's the dark side of comics. I don't want to get to the point where I'm literally just buying a book without even caring what it is, and buying it in stacks. I see a couple of guys who do this where they'll come in and they'll buy like 4 issue number ones. Image is relentlessly putting out number one books, and as I'm looking at this list, I actually see more number ones on here. But they, if I was to buy doubles, triples of every number one that was coming out just because it was a number one, man, I would drive myself insane.
Oh yeah, and it's funny because I see it at the comic book store. Like I think I'm buying a lot of books, and I'm buying like 5 comics. You know, and I'm like, man, it's a lot of comics this week. And then the guy in front of me online has what looks like every comic.
Yeah, every comic, and he's looking for variants, and he's getting doubles.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, wait, what's going on?
Yep.
Yeah. But now, before we finish up, I just wanted to talk about it, because you do a lot of cosplay, right?
Yes, yes.
Both you and your girlfriend do. And you guys actually like craft your own stuff, right?
Yeah, she's more into the crafting side than I am. I've done a couple of costumes now, and they've worked out. I've done some video game costumes. We did, last year for Halloween, we did Gomez and Morticia Adams, but we got the costumes and made them from scratch. So any of the accessories and stuff we made, I actually bought a vintage tuxedo that came from a man who I believe had passed away 30 years before. His wife sold me. Yeah, it's a really dark story, actually.
That's really good for the Adams family.
It is. I bought this suit off of, it's a tuxedo from eBay, and it was a really nice vintage tuxedo that had the right pinstripes and everything that I was looking for. When I got the tuxedo, there was a note on the inside pocket, and it was like, dear blah, blah, blah. Thank you so much for buying this. I hope you cherish this because this was my husband's and I felt really uncomfortable selling it originally, but now I want you to have it and I hope you appreciate it. And I was like, wow, that is really weird. Why would you put that? And I was like, oh my God, this was probably something that you cherished of his before he passed away and after he passed away. And now I have this dead guy's tuxedo.
Wow.
Like, oh wow, it fits perfectly too. So but yeah, as far as it's very odd. As far as costume goes, she does more than I do as far as creating. I do a lot of her pictures, her lighting. We kind of work together on stuff. She recently did the female Thor with a friend. She did her friend did female Cap and she did female Thor, and this was right before this is actually a couple of months before they had even announced that they were going to do a Thor that was a female.
Yeah.
This was during AwesomeCon this past year. So when they announced that they were doing the female Thor, we were like, wow, look at this. There have always been female Thors at Comic Cons, but she was striving to do something that was a lot more akin to the classic character and just kind of, you know, feminize it a little bit. And that seems to be what they did in Marvel, too. It's she's not, you know, overtly sexual. And if you look at Kim's pictures, there's a good comparison there. But we built the hammer out of a yoga block, which was pretty genius because we looked at the yoga block at first. We were like, oh, my God, what are we going to do with this? She shaped it down. She made the engravings. She even burned in the engraving that's on Mjolnir. And it's really cool work when you look at something and you're like, okay, I want to become this. And then you spend the time and effort, and it's not easy. It's a lot of work. I've watched her put in like 14 hours sometimes on a costume and during a day, and she's just working away, and she'll be in the shop. She spray paints her own swords, gets all her stuff together, and she's so tired at the end of the day, but when she finally puts that costume on and we go out for an event, she feels really excited because she's like, every part of this, you know, I made this. And her pictures always look amazing. I feel like you can buy a costume and it'll look really good, but if you've made your own costume and it looks really good, there's just like a double up there that makes you feel amazing.
Yeah, and what's really cool, I'm you know going through her her Facebook page right now, which is Kim Bishop Cosplay, and she puts like a lot of process photos on, like showing each step of the way.
Yeah, yeah. She does do a lot of processes. I think that for her, it's always good to kind of see how it's coming along. So it's good to kind of take those process photos. I know for the Thor armor, that was the first time that she had actually worked making armor pieces. And we were originally looking at getting Warbla, which is a type of, it's a thick kind of foam mat that you can buy, and you can heat it up and kind of mold it. But the problem was is that she was really worried that once you kind of mold it and fix it, you're not going to be able to redo it. And the sheets are really expensive. They're about $80 a sheet, and you need probably about 6-7 sheets just to do one major armor piece. So we went with she used craft foam for the whole thing. So the helmet piece is actually a headband, and she kind of rounded it around. The chest piece is all foam, and we kind of molded it to her body. She used a saran wrap method, which is pretty genius, that she found online. And basically you just get a saran wrap, wrap it around your body, and then you use masking tape, or you can use duct tape if you want, but it's easier to just get like masking tape or painter's tape, wrap it around your body, and then you kind of line out. And with the saran wrap and the masking tape really tight around your body, it kind of makes a semi-mold. So when you cut it from the sides, you have the ability to shape that and put the foam around it and then heat it up around the kind of mold that you've made out of the masking tape and the saran wrap.
Huh, that's really interesting. I never would have thought of that.
I know, it's crazy. The DIY stuff that comes from watching people do cosplay is ingenious. She did a cosplay for this character, Super Sonico, who's this kind of anime idol character, and she wanted a second costume because she was going to go as Mitsuru, who's a character from Persona 3, and actually that's the costume that she's entered into the Atlas contest for currently on Atlas.com, and her Mitsuru costume was amazing. She spent months on this thing putting all the pieces together. She built the skirt pieces herself. She made a gun specifically for the costume. And that costume had come together already. We had about a week, 2 weeks left, and she was like, you know what, I want a second costume. It was a three-day event. We were going to Catsicon out here by the National Harbor in Virginia, right outside of Maryland. And I was like, well, can you make a costume in a week? She was like, well, I really want to do this character. And so the character, the big thing was is the clothes was not a problem. She got all the clothes and everything together. She knitted a sweater that has these little bunnies on it. She made the bunnies from, I think she made them from patent foam and just cut them out, put them on there. She got all the stuff she needed for accessories. But the main thing is the character has these very kind of iconic headphones. They kind of look like these old school hi-fi headphones with giant wires. The headphones, if you look at them, they look so good in the pictures, but realistically, when you break them down to what they are, we bought a cheap pair of kind of $9.99 Walmart brand headphones as a base, and then she used styrofoam cups for the kind of bigger modules of the headphones. We took two hangers, broke them apart, made the top hanger part, and then we used pencils and dowels to kind of just put in the little nubs. Everything else she just kind of painted herself, and the end result for a pair of $9.99 headsets as a base is just like almost uncanny to the character itself. And yeah, it's pretty genius. Yeah,
those headphones look great.
They do, yeah. And it's funny because we took pictures of them and posted them to people, and people are like, oh my god, can you make a tutorial? And she's like, wow, well, I've only built these things in like a day, so I feel kind of weird, you know, making a tutorial. And that was one of those things that was so last minute, we hadn't taken pictures of the process. So we were like, okay, well, you know, there were other people who had tutorials out there, but they just took longer. So we kind of just, she was emailing people, letting them know what stuff she bought. And the process is really only like two or three lines of, you know, just sending out to people. But it's, I think that her creativeness comes out when she feels like she's kind of pushed against the wall. She's like, okay, I want to do something. She works the best when she's kind of has pressure to work against. And from the pictures and everything she does, and you can see that she puts a lot of effort into everything, but I think she knocks it out of the park, and I'm always happy to help her with everything. So I wish I could do more and spend more time on my own costumes and try to find characters, but honestly, I look at a lot of characters, and they don't always fit my mold. There's only so many bearded guys out there that I can be, so.
I'm telling you, man. Slod.
Slod.
Slod from I'm gonna put that on there.
But
that or just go as Purple Blanca.
I'm gonna go as Purple Blanca.
Dave's listening right now, and he's like, his name is Loose Cannon.
I think I just need a pair of like grayish blue pants, and I'm gonna have Kim just paint me purple.
Yeah.
And I need a blonde wig. Yep,
yeah.
Yep, got it. You're in. So
surfer wig, Comic-Con. Yep. Blue spandex pants, and lots of purple body paint.
New York Comic Con 2015. I will be Loose Cannon. Look for me.
Nice. You heard it here
hashtag
first.
Loose Cannon. Yep.
Hashtag. What was the other hashtag for the episode?
Oh my god! Smells like convergence.
Yeah, right. Smells like convergence.
Yep. Smells like convergence.
I just hope there's a Bloodlines world when convergence comes out.
Oh my god, are you gonna really laugh if like next year's big crossover event is like Bloodlines 2?
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I don't know if I'd buy it, but it'd be amazing.
Did you want to talk about new Captain America?
Sure. Yeah, Falcon has taken over as Captain America because Steve Rogers has had the super soldier serum fail once again. This has happened before.
This has happened before, yes.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
That's what led to like Cap Wolf and you know and when he had to wear like that cap armor when.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the end of Mark Gruenwald's run where you know he then at the end of it like Cap basically dies but he doesn't really die. His body is stolen by the Red Skull and he's revived in the early part of Mark Waid's run, which is classic. Everybody should read that.
Yeah,
Mark
Waid. That is a good, very good run. Yeah.
It still holds up. I read it recently.
Oh, did you? I'm also now going to look for the issues where he's Cap Wolf as well, because now I feel like I need to own those.
Yeah, because there's one where it's it was at the height of Cable Mania and when Wolverine was appearing in every comic, And so there's a werewolf Cap fighting Cable, like in his original costume, and Wolverine charging in from the background. It's amazing.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Huh.
That I need this now. what year was this? This was like early.
It had 90s. To be like 91 or 92. Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah, you're right. This is like a weird callback to me right now, because I feel like I remember seeing this Man and Wolf part 6 of 6.
Yeah. They were really just throwing everything at the wall at Captain America at that point. But yeah, it's funny because, like, so the new Captain America series is coming out, starting with a new number one, I believe. Yeah.
Yes, it is a new number one, yep.
Okay. And it's funny because then at the end of Captain America 25, it was like, who's the new Captain America? It's like, Marvel, you've been announcing this for months. We all know who the new Captain America is.
The best kept secret.
Yeah. Falcon in the Cap suit is on, like, front and center of the Secret Wars, like, promo poster. It's like, we get it.
Yeah, that was very odd that they kind of, they were like, oh my God, it may be somebody else, but we've already announced that it's Falcon.
Yeah, and I think it's an awesome choice. It's kind of like when Dick Grayson took over as Batman.
You're right, yeah. It's like, it's the choice that you feel like they should have made 30 years ago.
Yeah. And I loved Bucky Cap a few years ago when Captain America died, and that's died in like air quotes. and and I was happy when Steve Rogers came back. I think this will be cool.
I think so too. And Rick Remender is writing the book, so I think that alone gives me enough faith to want to keep reading and looking into it. I like these variants that they've done with the covers. I think the costume looks very good. It's a good enough callback to, like, when I look at this cover from a distance, when you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's Captain America. They've done little things like the red sunglasses, but you can still tell, you know, it's Falcon. I think it's about time that we have some changes, and I think this was one of the good ones.
Yeah, I think my favorite of the variants might be the one that has Stephen Colbert wearing Falcon's classic costume.
Oh my God, yes. At first I was looking at that and I was like, what is that? And then you're totally right. It is Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I had to click on that thumbnail just to enlarge it, because I was like, wait a second.
Wow, yeah. I love how it says all new Captain America and the Falcon, and it's just the Falcon next to him.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Any other books?
No, I think that's it for me. Anything you wanted to mention?
No, I'm just looking through. I like this Groot Captain America cover that they did. Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier number 2. It's Rocket Raccoon and Groot cover.
I'm enjoying all the Groot covers this month. Like, they're doing like a whole line of Groot and Rocket Raccoon covers, and they all look great.
Yeah, they're all awesome.
There's one from last week from Spider-Man that recreated Amazing Spider-Man 328, where cosmic-powered Spider-Man is knocking Hulk into orbit, and instead, it's Rocket knocking Groot into orbit, and on the Spider-Man cover it said, "Spider is the strongest there is," and now in the this cover it was Rocket punching Groot and saying, "I think it said like, who's Groot now?"
That's awesome.
Yeah. 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 So, I guess that's going to bring us to the end of this episode, right?
Yep.
And so, everybody, I hope you enjoyed Ali filling in for Dave this week. And you should definitely go to Kim Bishop Cosplay on Facebook and give her a like. It's Kim Bishop Cosplay, spelled exactly the way you would think it's spelled.
Cosplay is Cosplay. Everything else is how you think it would spell. If you want to hear the Bloodlines cast, just follow me at welovebloodlines.tumblr.com. No, that's not real. If you want to follow stuff that I do, my Twitter handle is oswald9599 at twitter.com, and then I have a blog on Tumblr, so it's Ali Loves Games, A-L-L-I-L-U-V-S. games.tumblr.com. And hopefully this isn't the last time I'm on your show, Billy.
No, I hope not, but I meant, you know, like I hope it's not the last time you're on the show also.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Ali, thank you for being on the show. Hopefully next time you're on, maybe we can get Dave on with you too. We could have like a comic book three-way. That came out wrong.
Yeah, that would be awesome. A little round table with Bloodlines again, so.
Yeah. You guys are going to just get real. Do like our top five favorite Bloodline stories.
I'm very excited about it.
Nod my head at each one. I'll just be like, oh, yeah, definitely.
I hope I have my Loose Cannon costume done by then, so.
I hope so, too.
Thanks for having me on, Billy.
I think what we need to do is have a Loose Cannons contest. Which of us can come up with the best Loose Cannons costume in time for New York Comic Con next year?
Okay, I'm in for this.
Yeah. I'm going full
We're all just going to be shirtless, wearing gray pants, slathering on purple paint.
Yeah, well, it'll be the best when, like, websites are like, I can't believe I saw two purple Blancas.
These guys are so bad, they don't even know what Blanca looks like. Yeah. What's wrong with them?
Blanca's green, sometimes blue, or orange.
Dude. Hashtag smells like convergence, don't forget that.
Yes, hashtag smells like convergence. Everybody, have a good night, enjoy your Tuesday night, and Ali, thank you once again.
Oh, thank you so much, Billy. Have a good night.